This is the voice of Vashon 101.9 FM KVSH LP Vashon Island, Washington. And this is Chris Austin with the Dove Speak Show. We've had a bit of a hiatus. Kids are back in school, and we are ready to roll again with some new programming for you. These will be every other week, and this is our first live week. And today we have Nin Gray, a Dove Project advocate, here to help us figure out what's going on with our guests. Oh, hey, let me turn your mic on, because that's what I do. There
that's
you go.
Important. Okay, here we go. I'm here now. I'm actually here. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Well, welcome back. It's been,
a few months.
It has. It was like right before summer, I think.
Yeah, get our summer party on. Now we're back to business. Back to structure and routine. The relief.
Yes, exactly. Kids in school.
I brought with me some guests today, two lovely ladies, and I will let them introduce themselves. But their names are Tina and Cindy, and Dove has had the pleasure of working with these wonderful women with certain clients who volunteered to take a workshop with them. I think they got a lot out of it. So I will let them tell you more about it. But they volunteered their time, and they're with the Working Mothers Evolution and the Working Mothers Revolution. So I'll let them tell you about what that is. But we've been so excited, so fortunate to work with them. And so we thought they would be great to kick off the fall with Dove Speaks with these amazing guests to tell you what they do.
Well done. Who's going to jump in first here?
Thank you.
Excuse me.
I'm Tina Shattuck, and I am one of the co-founders of Working Mothers Revolution and Working Mothers Evolution. And I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us. I'll let Cindy introduce herself, and then we can talk just a little bit about who we are and how we came to be and what we do.
Okay, thanks, Tina. I am Cindy Shear, and I am the other co-founder of Working Mothers Evolution and Working Mothers Revolution. Working Mothers Evolution, who's working with Dove, is a nonprofit, and we help women at risk by supporting them through providing them tools, social and emotional tools, to help them through difficult situations, particularly in helping them bounce back from like trauma and adversity. And Tina, do you want to talk a little bit more about our workshops that we do with them?
We do. Sure. The workshops that we do, we've done, fortunate enough to be able to do one full set of workshops with Dove, with a really great set of women who were amazing. And we are looking forward to doing another set. It's a series that we designed really for through Working Mothers Revolution, which is our for-profit company, for moms who were in transition. So maybe in transition from being at home with children to going back to work or going back to school or finding new jobs, or mothers who were in transition from having little kids to bigger kids and having much more time so that they could really take a look at what it is they really wanted to do. We've also worked with women who are transitioning into empty nesting, which is another big, huge transition. So our workshops really take women through a process of trying to help them rediscover what their dreams are, to build new dreams, to determine what their needs are, to determine what their barriers to going back to work or just transitioning into the next phase would be, and steps that help them create framework for going out and doing it, whatever it is they want to do. What we've developed has been modified just a little bit for the group of women that we teach at Dove and other places, because women are typically at that point in crisis. And so it's just a little bit different framework, but it's pretty much a similar kind of workshop.
So our workshops are based on four cornerstones that we strongly believe in, and they're primarily clarity, connection, community, and courage. Through our research through WMR, when we first started, we found that women who are planning to get back to work face a lot of trepidation and fear and confusion. And there is a lot of uncertainty as to what they want to do. They have lost their vision as to what their future career would be. And so what we've discovered through our research is that they needed clarity. And as we researched further into it, we discovered that the element of connection was important, that they needed to connect to their authentic self to kind of figure out what they really wanted to do. And then as we went along, we found out that community was an important element, that they needed the support of the women around them to kind of give them wisdom, feedback, physical support with their kids, and finally kind of identify what obstacles they face in taking the steps they needed towards the next decision, the next big decision. And through that four cornerstones, we realized that this same four cornerstones is important to build resilience mm-hmm. in women who are at risk. So then we transferred that four cornerstones to the workshops that we developed for the women at risk.
And Cindy, I can say that right now at Dove, we have a support group that's an online forum only, a secret Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we'll have a coffee hour or something where the women who are part of that forum, and it's not all female clients of Dove, it's just some, but where they can come together at Dove and actually be physically together. Mm-hmm. And feedback from them, and also feedback from you all at your last session, or second to last session rather, was that sense of community was really important to mm-hmm. survivors of domestic violence, you know, particularly our clients mm-hmm. who you're working with. And so that left an impression on me for sure, that, you know, that sense of community is so strong. I know that the online forum is more convenient for the clients, which is why we currently have it structured that way. But meeting together, you know, where two or more are joined, mm-hmm. that whole idea of mm-hmm. being in conscious community and sharing that same experience, I think is really powerful. Just the presence of being together. So I totally hear that that's an important part.
Mm-hmm. To me, you know, and this is the first time I'm hearing this, it sounds like it's an opportunity to have a surrogate family or a surrogate community around you. And I'm wondering, how do the members self-evaluate other members, or how, you know, for instance, I know a woman who speaks very authoritarian, seems to know what she's talking about, but she's really an idiot. And so what do you do?
I think
I
know that woman too.
I think everybody does. But how is this group vetted to that they do give sound advice and things like that?
Do you mean, Chris, the facilitators, or you mean the people?
Oh, just
the group?
Who you meet, these people that are going to give you some guidance or, mm-hmm. or.
So for Working Mothers Revolution, which is for mothers, stay-at-home mothers who are returning back to work, or mothers who are transitioning to a new career or trying to figure out what their next steps are, the way we designed the workshop was as a self-guided workshop.
Oh, okay.
And so we have created what we call WIT Kit, Women in Transition Kit. And what they do is they get this kit and they gather a group of friends or acquaintances.
Oh, they're picking them.
They pick their own group of maybe five, and they gather together. They use our WIT Kit and they go through the self-guided process. And we have specific instructions as to how that's done. And they take themselves through this process. And as they go through this process, they build a bond. And they can start off as acquaintances. Because we have a six-session process, it takes them really deep into different issues. And they become the advisors to each other. They become, they give feedback to each other. And
interesting.
They support
okay.
each other through mm-hmm. that process. They may start off not really knowing each other, but by the end of the six-week or six-session process, they really bond.
Well, it's interesting. In fact, when we were just putting the workshop together and we were testing and we needed people to test it for us, this was many years ago, we gathered friends of ours who didn't necessarily know each other and said, would you do this for us? And they, you know, we had a group, four or five different groups of women who were in different situations, who had different time frames that they tested it over. And we found that time after time after time, even with women who are in very different places in their lives, that they develop this community, that they still, even today, have relationships with each other based on a community that, was gathered not of their own volition. It was just people that we said, please come help us, who have, I think, enough in common, as I think people in general do, women in general do, that they could find their common ground for all of them. And really, it's about being in community, which is kind of what we're all sort of alive to do, right? Sure. Is to be in community with each other.
And it seems like if you volunteer to do that, you're already an empathetic person that's willing to help.
Well, and you also might be looking for something too, right? Mm-hmm. So the other string that bonds women together in a self-guided way is that they're all looking towards moving forward and they just need some help. For women who are, for instance, at the Dove Project, they're all there. They have a common string. There's a common ground there. So they have the ability really to empathize with each other, to understand where each other is at. It's interesting in some of our workshops, some women are in a different place than other women and they can be supportive. Like, I've been there before. I know exactly right. what you're talking about. And this is how it changed for me this far down the line. So hold on, right? So they're really great sources of support and strength for each other.
Is there an optimal number for this group? I mean, you can get too many cooks in the kitchen.
If you get too many, well, if it's facilitated, it's really different. You know, Cindy and I have experience with breaking groups in breaking bigger groups into smaller groups and helping them determine, you know, how to go through it themselves to get as much out of it as they possibly can. You know, we all our sort of our magic number is not less than three and not more than eight. Because of the timing, right? People are busy. We don't just have, we could sit there literally for 4 hours and process, but most people don't have that time. They have an hour and a half to 2.5 or maybe three. So we try to keep it eight and below for self-guided. For facilitated, we could do bigger, but there's no magic number. If you have only two, sometimes there's just not enough community that's built, not enough experiences.
Yeah, not enough experience.
Right? Or not enough different experiences where somebody could, you know, sort of come in and support.
So it sounds like you ladies provide the container and then you work with what sounds like to me, and that's how this is how we do our advocacy as well with survivors of DV, is through an empowerment model where during this process, these women are empowered to do their own work. And you're just providing the container for that. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Really. What we provide are tools for them to take whatever situation they have, apply some of these tools to help them move forward.
I have a question. Is there a similar group for women who are not parents and are women who identify as women but maybe don't have children as well? Is there a similar group or organization that you know of that does the same thing for men?
So I lost my train of thought.
Love when that happens.
Well, let me just speak to the group of men. When we were doing a lot of work through co-op, community cooperative preschools, because those are great moms because they have little kids and they're starting to just, you know, get out of the muck and the mire and look ahead. Like, oh, my, I have somebody who might be a kindergartner in a year. Maybe I can have a different life, right? So we did a lot of work in co-op preschools, and we actually got a lot of interest from ones and twos of men who'd be like, oh, that would be interesting. I'd like to do that. I actually worked with a gentleman somewhere, let's see, East Coast, I think, who was a stay-at-home dad who wanted sort of some framework for himself and some of his dads. And he looked at the information I sent him, our workbook, and it felt too deep for him. So I think that where we've sort of sat so far is that there's so much vulnerability that happens when you're in a group and you're so raw and you're so open, that to have mixed people in it, to have men and women, really changes the dynamic. And I don't know, just honestly, from my own experience, how men do in those sorts of situations. I don't know. I can only speak from my own experience.
Fair enough.
I was going to ask you that.
Right,
because
speak to it.
Because of what it requires from you. Yeah. Authenticity,
exactly.
Openness,
vulnerability.
I'm just going to go to the bar, maybe tell my bartender. I don't know.
Right.
That's my therapy
right.
session.
Right, right. So it, we haven't seen a lot.
I think, it, you know, levity aside, it's a really different dynamic, I think,
sure.
with the macho guys. And they're coming, you know, how many stay-at-home moms are you? That's going to be hard to find a group, I would think, that could come together, because it's just not as many of them as stay-at-home mothers.
Right. I think there are more now. I think you probably could find a whole bunch of groups.
Really?
But oh yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Like if you go to the big city, there's tons of dads who stay home with their small children. So that specific framework, I think there's a lot of them. I just don't know if that's how men process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could do the stay at home part. I couldn't do the kids.
Right.
Anyway, before we continue, I need to do a little house cleaning here. Support provided by Puget Sound Cooperative Credit Union, where serving the financial needs of our neighborhood is in a not-for-profit manner. Improving housing stock, lowering energy bills, and putting a lot of contractors to work is how PSCCU practices community and cooperation Vashon style. Also, support is provided by Dental Care of Vashon. Whether you're suffering from tooth or gum discomfort, damaged or missing teeth, sleep issues, or are in need of crowns or dental implants, Dr. Demova and her team at Dental Care of Vashon will bring you relief and renewed confidence in a comfortable, caring environment at 206-463-9115 or dentalcareofvashon.com. Now back to the show.
And there's radio silence.
Okay, here we go. So I have another question. Tina, you had mentioned in the beginning in your introduction that you guys modify it a bit to work with survivors. And I imagine that with each group, you adjust it a little bit. Can you provide an example, either one of you, of what you did with the clients of Dove that, without maybe getting into too specific,
sure.
but you know,
sure.
That was different because you were working with this particular group that had the common thread of being survivors of DV?
Well, we really didn't approach it any differently in the very beginning. And I think what we found both with Dove and with Mary's Place, as we do a lot of work there, is that the needs and the ability to look forward for a lot of these women is difficult. So what they're trying to do is grapple with what is happening to them right now. And so, for instance, in our very first session, which is really about thinking about what you want for your future and visualizing and dreaming about it. It was very difficult for some women to look forward because all they could do was see where they are. So we sort of took that workshop series and used it as a tool for people to really go deeper into where they're at now. What we use a lot is... I lost my train of thought too, right?
Well, we helped them kind of find clarity as to where they are right now, gave them a container to talk about the situation and to kind of vent. And then, you know, to kind of give them that space to kind of move forward and just listen. I think a lot of them just needed time to process the situation by just having that support group around them. And that's what we mostly did. And also I think we gave them, like when in goal setting, for example, we kind of focused on shorter time periods instead of, you know, a longer time periods because they're in crisis and they're looking at the now. And that was different as well.
Well, one of the tools that we use in workshop series are to tap into the power of the collective mm-hmm. and use the people in the group to help the individual see what maybe they can't see and whatever it is. And we use that when we do a lot of our dream mapping specifically, because it's a great exercise, because especially if somebody else in the group doesn't know you very well, they may be able to see things that you couldn't see in what you had put together. Was really helpful, I think, for the women in these particular workshops, because they had a real connection to what was happening with them right now. So instead of looking sort of way out in the future, they could help them process what's going on right now. And that helps. It also helped when we work at Mary's Place with women who are homeless, because a lot of that visioning is not around what's going to be. It's really immediate future, not like bigger dreams, because that's too big. That's too hard to sort of get their brains wrapped around.
Well, I you go into a job interview or something, they say, where do you want to be in 5 years? I'm like, alive? I don't know.
Right?
It's just a ridiculous time period for some people, me.
Yeah.
And I think setting those shorter goals is really helpful, because it's saying you have a future.
Right.
And but it's not so far extended that, like, yeah, that's kind of a dream world out
right.
there.
Well, what we had done in terms of setting longer term goals was to help women, mothers, really recognize where their families would be, because that's something that sometimes it's hard to take into account. In 10 years, I may have grown children, but I also may have parents that live with me. And it's taking into those bigger, into account some of the bigger stuff in terms of parameters when you look farther down. And that's the kind of stuff that we took out of some of the work that we're doing now, where it is really focused on what's doable, you know, framework that's really actionable for right now. So.
And I'm curious how, you know, if you work with survivors of domestic violence or homeless women at Mary's Place, for example, you mentioned you worked with that particular group of mm-hmm. women. How much of your work is trauma informed, and how do you process that as facilitators if that trauma surfaces, can be really intense and really emotional? So I'm just wondering if you both can speak to that.
Well, one of the things that we emphasized to the coordinators of the nonprofits is that we are not therapists. What we do is we provide tools to help these women through social emotional situations, to help them bounce back from trauma or adversity to be resilient. When trauma or a difficult situation arise, we kind of, you know, refer them to a professional. And I think that's important.
If we can.
Yeah.
If we can, and sometimes we just try to help them work through it. I think what we found, and we don't have a ton of experience working with homeless or people in domestic violence situations, but what we found is that people in general just want to be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And really, at the core of everything, that's kind of what it is. And so we provide that framework for them, that we see them when we hear them. And they oftentimes work through their own traumas, right? There's a whole arc to it, especially for women who are homeless, who have immediate, intense needs, that they have opportunities to sort of come full circle within the work that we're doing. And as long as we are attentive and just make sure people know that they're seen and heard, mm-hmm. they seem to work through themselves. It's pretty amazing to watch, really. Really pretty incredible. And sometimes really, for me as a facilitator, like, well, I'm a fixer and I have to recognize that it's not my job and I can't fix it. So to be really present seems to be sort of the best response, that mm-hmm. we have never come out of a situation where whatever was happening with an individual wasn't self-resolved. I'm not saying that won't happen, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah, and I can imagine that some of this work, because it goes so deep, can be triggering for certain participants, and that you all, you know, have to practice being able to hold that space for them in the moment. And then I'm sure, you know, maybe you guys can speak to your own self-care or how you, you know, contain that space in the moment. I know for advocates, we do the same. And mental health providers, they do the same, you know, and then to be able to leave that space and shake it off and process anything through so that you're not carrying around all of that intensity the rest of your day. So maybe you guys can talk about your own process of self-care resiliency.
Well, for me, it's a lot of deep breathing.
Breath is always good.
Yes.
It's mostly just really for Tina and I processing it through talk therapy. After leaving the situation, we download, we talk about it, and that's usually really helpful for us. And just recognizing that there's a lot of learning behind that. With every session, we would sit and talk and realize that there are things that we need to do differently the next time, or how we can do it better. And I think that what usually gives me comfort in working through these difficult situations too is just giving the participants a really safe place to talk or to go through these processes. As long as they know that it's safe, they would be able to kind of work it through somehow. And as we give them the space, they do.
I think for me, it's probably just a little bit different, fairly similar. We do a lot of talk therapy. I don't think I realize most of the time when we're in workshops how exhausted I am afterwards. Like we get done and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of the day. So I think for me, Cindy helps me sort of like, okay, this is all you can do. This is what you can do. I think it sometimes, especially for instance, with women who are homeless, leaves me thinking, oh my God, how can this be? How is this the world we live in? And what else can I do? How can I help women? Nobody should be homeless. I have amazing stories of incredible women who you would never think would ever be homeless who are. Talk therapy is really helpful. And really focusing consistently for me on what's important and how I want to contribute, what my own contribution is. This is what we've chosen. Mm-hmm. And just continuing to refocus about that. But it is very difficult sometimes to leave it where it is, to let it be, and to move forward in my own personal life because I have so much privilege, right? I don't have to worry about any of the things in general that a lot of our clients have to worry about. So it makes me really sad and kind of angry.
Well, before you blow up and start tearing up the studio, we need to thank an underwriter.
This portion of VOV programming is sponsored by the Mostly True Vashon Tours. Based on the popular Mostly True History book series, these tours offer a lighthearted history of our islands and show you where historical events actually happened. Along the way, you experience all that Vashon has to offer in the way of local food, spirits, and recreation. For more information and tickets, visit VashonTours.com or the Hinge Gallery, located at the corner of Vashon Highway and 174th Street.
All right, we are back. This is Dove Speaks, a brand new show. We are back from a summer hiatus. We're going to be doing live shows every 2 weeks. And I also need to tell you, you are listening to the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH, LP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm here with Nin Gray, and we have two volunteers?
Yes.
Cindy and Tina from
Working Mothers
Evolution.
That's right.
That's right. And Nin, you were going to ask them about how they're moving forward or what?
Well, yeah. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you both for the work that you do. And it is enough. And, you know, Tina, I feel you. I get it. Every one of us that's called to the social justice work and the social service work. I mean, it is hard to keep hope alive sometimes. And we just have to join in community with each other.
Right.
You know, and realize that no one can do everything.
Right.
And that those of us that are doing something, you know, that is our contribution. And sometimes we just have to rest in that's enough for now.
Right.
You know, and so thank you both for the work that you're doing. And Chris and I were just wondering what's in the future for you all. What is in the future for Working Mothers Evolution? What would you like to do from here and do in our community and the surrounding area?
Well, we are interested in doing more work for at-risk mothers. Our hope is to expand further to, homeless women out there, domestic violence, and women who have been incarcerated and are planning to get back into society. And our plans for Working Mothers Revolution is to come up with more workshops for mothers who are transitioning into the next step for stay-at-home moms and empty nesters. That's what we are planning to do in the next year.
Yeah, we fortunately have had opportunities as Working Mothers Revolution to actually teach in jail to women and found that work really rewarding. And there is no work like that happening for women who are released or getting ready to be released or who have been released. It's really, for those women, it's really about, where's your job? Did you get your job? And, you know, do you have housing? It doesn't, really address, Release doesn't address any of the social emotional issues that go along with going back into communities where they were living, and what to do about some of that stuff. And there's components of all of that: domestic violence, drug addiction, lots of different things that we couldn't address, but we could help give women some of those tools. So yeah, we're both really excited about continuing on expanding our programming to more shelters like Mary's Place. There are, as you know, there is a huge homeless problem in Seattle. There's a lot of work that can be done.
And you are in this community, you're Vashonites, and so this is birthed from, you know, this community with you two, you know, your Working Mother's Evolution. And I'm just wondering for our listeners, if you have an ask of the community, or if you have a way that, you know, people want to help or contribute or contact you, how do they get a hold of you?
They can contact us through our website. It's workingmothersrevolution.com. We have information there. What we would love of our community is to help support us in finding more organizations that might need our help, and just helping us get the word out. We are really, it's by, for all intents and purposes, just Cindy and I who are doing all the work on both the nonprofit and the for-profit side. And we have done some nonprofit grant writing. So we hope to have more funds in. But if anybody wants to gather groups of women and go through this process, if you're in a point where you're interested in finding out what's next and how you're going to do it, please see us through our website. You can call Cindy or I personally. We'd love to talk to anybody.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any last words before we...
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Of course.
Continue with the evolution and the revolution.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for coming. Nin, thank you again. It's great to see you, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. My